Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
As I've indicated earlier, the second leg of our conversation, I'm rejoined by Professor Kubos Oosthuizen, who is a dean at Boston College, and he's joined us. Prof, good evening and welcome to Beyond Mentorship.
Good evening, Nimrod, and please, just Kubos is 100%, and it's wonderful to have you, to have me. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
No, thank you very much, Kubos. You know, I was saying to Betsy here, it's quite very useful to hear that, because I've looked at your program, you've pretty much been around all this you know, Ivy universities and as a practitioner. So I'm quite looking forward to have this beautiful conversation with you. But first and foremost, we all know that running a business is such a very complex phenomenon. And which, in my view, should not be seen as a last resort, but a first resort. Based on your experience, most people who come through to you for advice, these are people that, you know, have considered business development or small business as a priority focus area, or, you know what, I couldn't make it, I can't find a job, let me just see if I can't try a business.
Yeah, Nimrod, that's an interesting question. My sense is that people who aspire to go into business have got a yearning. You know, it's like the advert that said that the craving has spoken. You know, that the individual has got a concept of sorts. They have identified a particular need in the market. And they become aspirational to pour their being into a career of that nature. I would just say that, and I'm just now reflecting on my own experience, that, you know, what you said just now, when all else fails, then let me try and make it as an entrepreneur. I don't think that would be the appropriate orientation to approach a career in starting one's own business. So in my humble view, Nimrod, it is something that comes from the heart and comes from the soul, and that's something that it's a burning desire to express oneself in that way.
Look, I couldn't agree with you, Kubos, because it's certainly true. Because if business is a last, it's a by the way issue. The craving that you spoke into would not have kicked in. But most importantly, the level of readiness would not be at the level that would make you competitive. Because in business, there are two aspects: there's a jockey and there's a horse. You as a jockey, obviously, you need to be a very competitive jockey, which means you have to be tuned in. Your mental makeup has to be at par, and the horse being your business, knowing your product and services. So perhaps maybe to the lesser point, how important it is from a business point of view, knowing your value add to the market in terms of a broad understanding of your product. What do you sell to the market?
Oh, that is of the utmost importance. Rod, you know, you often find people that talk about an idea, you know, and they think that this is going to, you know, they're going to scale like Google, become the next Google or the next Amazon or something to that effect. But it is so important to do one's due diligence, one's homework. And, you know, that process in itself to determine the market for the product, you know, is there really, really a need? I mean, a lot of time needs to be spent in making that determination. And I'm, you know, referring to, for example, your market research and your analysis. Who's going to be your customers? You know, where are they? What's the size of that market? What's the trends within that market? What's my competition like, and what would my competitive edges be? You know, things like the estimated market market size or market share, etc. So those, it's critical. One it would be a big mistake to take the proverbial leap without doing one's due diligence well ahead of time. You know, before you take the plunge, that homework has been done. You know, and I'm not talking about analysis paralysis, because, you know, one can analyze ad infinitum and actually also never get anything done. But to get a sense of surety, what is humanly possible to know, I would suggest that is of utmost importance. Yes,
very useful points that you've just highlighted, Prof. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back to you know, the first and foremost about this idea of analysis paralysis, which is paralyzing. You at some point you got to start. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
It's amazing how time flies when you have a beautiful conversation. If you've just joined us, I'm joined by Professor Kubas, who's a dean at Boston, responsible for, I suppose, postgraduate studies. If you've got any questions to Prof, please give it to us. The SMS line is 34519. The telegram is 061-895-1119. Prof will be more than happy to respond to any of your business questions, for he's better qualified to do that. Prof, one of the issues that you raised, which is quite remarkable, was the emphasis on the due diligence, which means you as an entrepreneur, you need to understand the size of the market, you need to understand your unique selling proposition, you need to look at your competitors, you look at their modeling, and so on and so forth. That is important. You know, so to what extent do you, people that come through you for advice, demonstrate that ability or knowledge of having done their basic homework on this part, with obviously, you know, finding themselves in that analysis paralysis that you raised earlier?
Yeah, Nimrod, often, you know, these conversations start off in an informal manner, where I would basically just do a kind of a high level probe to determine what the individual has already done, and you know, asking questions, and sometimes, you know, it might come across as an uncomfortable question, but it's a valuable question. So, for example, I would say, explain to me your customer. Who is he or she? Where do they live? What do they drive? Where do they work? You know, things like that, so that they can build a mental picture of what does my customer actually look like. Have I spent proverbial time in the shoes of my customer? So if you know, that is the particular market segment that I'm approach or would like to approach, and you know, and then I would ask things like, so have you got a sense of what the market currently looks like? You know, what's the competitive landscape? What does it look like? And it's in that stage that where the initial concepts and the individual then understands the gaps in where they are at and the work that needs to be done. And now, you know, we use the term business plan. Now, I know that it's become a bit of a watered down concept, but it's the importance thereof just cannot be negated. And hence, the time that one would have to invest in that process of compiling that business plan. You know, I'm thinking if one plans a holiday, let's say I live in Joburg and I think, well, I want to go, you know, to go on a holiday in Cape Town or in UKZN or whatever. And first of all, you find a place, etc. But then you kind of construct a road map. You know, your where the road that I will take, where will I put in fuel again in my vehicle, what are the potential risks, etc., etc. And we often plan more on our holidays, you know, than we plan on our lives or on important things like starting a business. Therefore, it's if the individual is really passionate of entering or starting a career as an entrepreneur, that one have to acknowledge that there's a lot of upfront work to be done. You know, I'm thinking now, I have a shelf where I, in my younger days, I've got multiple files that's filed in there of, you know, ideas that started off and plans that were made and whatever else. And then most of them came up to a point and reach a dead end. And then you say, okay, no, I have to readjust and reconfigure. And
which is quite important.
You're saying
to your point around the business plan, which in your view has been somehow the word is perhaps maybe not taking as serious as it should, particularly in the inception phase, because it gives you the structure, you know, and it gives you to pivot and specific areas which you may not be strong at. So I think that's we can't take that for granted. The other point that I wanted to get more sense from your end is that, you know, most people think of a business from their from the supply side, not from the demand side. You know, and what has been your experience? Because I've had people talking to me about, look, this is what you want. I said, look, it doesn't matter what you think. You need to respond to a particular problem. Has been your experience around those issues?
Yes, absolutely. Nimrod, I mean, when one gets excited and, you know, all worked up, when one thinks I've got a wonderful concept here or an idea, I have to take the time out to actually also engage with whom I perceive to be my potential customer. So, you know, whether it's starting in one's closer circles with people you know, friends, family, etc., asking them, so if this particular product or service came onto the market, would it interest you? You know, would you kind of fork out money for something like that? Yes or no? And why, etc., etc. So, you know, in as you said though, so it's so important to get a sense from that person or persons or people, that market segment that I anticipate is going to buy this product, use it, and maybe, you know, not maybe, come back for return sales, etc. You know, so I have to really get to know my customer very, very well. I think many businesses fail because of a lack of knowing the customer inside out, and, you know, spending money, taking that leap, and then just to find out down the line, people are not willing to pay a price or that particular price that I've conceptualized, you know, from a pricing strategy perspective, or something to that effect. So as you, just to, off the back of what you said, Nimrod, it's, I think, of the utmost importance to get to know your customer well.
Absolutely. One point that it's often a very useful strategy, provided it's done timelessly, it's the notion of outsourcing, because we know that small businesses, you know, you can't do everything, and at some point you need to strategically outsource a particular aspect of your business so that it releases you, you know, from time to invest in your time on other strategic. How important is that, based on your personal experiences? At what point is a business ready to outsource certain functions?
Yes. No, absolutely. I mean, we've all heard the term bootstrapping. So in the beginning stages, you know, the entrepreneur, him or herself, is the, you know, the accountant and the marketer, the salesperson, you know, everything. But as one grows, then whether one, you know, your team obviously is also very important. But often when you start with, let's say, at the micro level, moving into small, medium-sized businesses, in the beginning stages, it's often everything evolves around the entrepreneur. But there are definitive functions that, as the business grows, and I would suggest, you know, when you don't necessarily already have to achieve break even, because often break even can only come, you know, on average, let's say 18 months, 2 years, if everything goes well. So the necessity to as you said, to release yourself to get to the tasks that would generate business. I'm thinking of things like bookkeeping. That's something that you could outsource. Of course, if you, you know, if you've got an online business, you will have to have to use an ISP or internet service provider, and you'll have to get people to help you build your website. You know, get all those mechanisms in place. That's if you go the online route. You know, on the other hand, again, you might get the services of outsourcing the services of social media marketing. You know, those kinds of things to loosen yourself up. But in the very beginning stages, most of those roles you will fulfill yourself in the spirit of bootstrapping. Yep. You know, you don't spend money if you don't have to, not at all. You know, you don't go out and buy expensive, heavy office equipment and whatever else, and expensive cars and things like that. The main function is to build traction in that business, so that, and you mean, we use the word scale, you know, how quickly one can get the business from zero and into the positive when you're, you know, when the revenue, hopefully at some point would then start, would exceed your expenses that you also incur.
Those are definitely useful points that you're sharing with us. We're going to have to pay our bills so that we can come back, as part of bootstrapping, I suppose, or where we are, because we have to pay bills. Let's do that. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. We're now literally on the last lap of a very interesting conversation. I am joined online by Professor Kubas Woestijzen, who is a dean at Boston Postgraduate Studies. Prof is giving us very interesting nuggets based on his personal experience when you are dealing with the business development. Before we took that break, one key point that Prof shared with us is that when your business is relatively, you know, at a micro level, typically entrepreneurs would do everything because you don't have money to pay for those kind of sources. But as your business grow, you obviously have to make your own determination as to at what point you can now begin thinking about outsourcing, because you know, you can look at some of the functions that can be relatively done by someone else cheaper, because the idea is to free you from doing mundane work, and so that you're able to do business development, because that's quite key. Issues of the social marketing, and people will obviously come to you because your business has built traction. Which is the next point, Prof, because when you build a business, sometimes you build a business so that you can have a business partners, and the evidence of your viability of your business is in traction, and how important is that particular issue, so that if I come to you and say, Kubas, I've been running this entity for the past 12 months, and I've started with 2 clients, I'm now 4 clients, and I'm about to sign another 5 clients. So I've already built traction. And would you be interested in joining me so that you can get more and more clients? Because that's how you build business.
Yes, for sure. That's why I'm a firm believer that there's not a cookie cutter type of approach. In other words, that I've got to can generalize that a particular plan will work for every type of business. Every business is so unique in itself, because the individual, the human being that's driving that business, is a unique individual with his or her own unique, as a unique individual. So, you know, it's as you've indicated, is to be aware and alert at which time do I believe is the most appropriate time to then reach out to other potential partners, or, you know, for somebody to come in. Let's say, for example, I, using your example, whether it's in a kind of a consultancy or whatever it might be, that I've now stepped up, and I can't, you know, my hands are getting full with the number of clients that I have to service, and number one, you know, I've got a great opportunity for you, you know, for an investment of X, you know, we will be able to gain another 10 clients, you know, and potential return on your investment would be Y, you know, talking about the economics of the business, because the economics of the business will also attract potential partners, because they would also want to see the potential in this. And of course, like-minded, also passionate about what it is that you are doing, you know, not just simply in it for the money. I mean, some person once said, I can't remember who, that if you start out with the idea of making money, you'd probably, chances are good, you're not going to make it. There must be a bigger meaning. So in other words, I'm doing this because I want to make meaning. I want to make a difference in people's lives, whether it's a product, Nimrod, whether it's a service, or whatever the case might be. Yeah. But yes, absolutely agree with you. One would have to have that awareness of that appropriate time. And I, you know, you can't say for every business it will be 6 months or 12 months or 18 months or 2 years or something to that effect. But it's, I think there's an intuition, an intuitive, something intuitive as well. When you now see that you are stretched beyond what you can handle yourself, and that it is now time to get in a wingman, so to speak.
Absolutely. And I like the point around finding people who are like-minded, because business is about team. Earlier on, I spoke to, in fact, I think last week I had a very interesting conversation with Clyde Butko, who emphasized, I mean, he's a serial entrepreneur who had invested billions of rands.
Yes.
And to your point, he spoke about a team. So, but at some point in your business, you need to know who are team members that complement you from a product point of view, and obviously making a difference in terms of your own limitations. Prof, you're going to have to leave it here. It's been absolutely beautiful. Prof?
Sorry, Nimrod.
I'm saying, look, you know, time is flying so fast when you're having fun.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to have to leave it here.
No, thank you so much. Appreciate for having me. Thank you so much, Nimrod. Take care and all the best.
Absolutely. You and I will catch up more on this kind of issues, because the listeners are desperately longing for this kind of input, so that they're able to modify the program, modify their standing, so that they're able to add value to would-be client. Yep. Thank you very much. That was Professor Kubas Oosthuizen, who is a dean at Boston, giving us a very interesting insights on some of the issues that you need to think about when you are starting your own businesses. Craig, I think we have done our bit for today. Thank you very much, Craig, who's on the controller. Betsy, thank you very much for organizing Prof here. It has been absolutely beautiful. All the guests that you've lined up have certainly made a difference to me, and let alone a difference to the listener. Let's do it again next week. It has been absolutely beautiful. Look after yourself. Shalom.